no penalties here. It's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast with Drew Mindell, Ezra Ginsberg, and Dave Manute.
What a great interview. What a guy who's really got his head on his shoulders the right way and approaches odd situations like this season has been with the right attitude.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I think I joked with him previously about how he needs to write a book about his travels from last season, because, I mean, again, how often do you see that where a guy goes? And again, if you guys remember, when he was with Detroit and they put him on waivers, there was that big uncertainty, what would happen with the Jets, and would the Jets be allowed to claim him and send him down and all this stuff. So, and a lot of people didn't know the answer. And so Eric has put up with a lot, and he's, you know, he's got a, to your point, Drew, he's got a really good head on his shoulders. He's been, you know, he's a level guy. And so, you know, and a lot of goalies have inconsistencies and can be a little, or idiosyncrasies, I should say. Eric doesn't seem to be one of them. I'm sure he's got his things he likes to do before a game, but he's always been a very good talker. He's a guy who knows how to handle himself in an interview, both, you know, when it's on the record and off the record. And I think that's one thing you just take away from today's chat with him, was just how level he is and how, you know, how mature he is as a person, that he can handle these types of situations and just adapt.
Let's be honest, guys. This is just, you know, a happy ending to the story, right? Because when the Jets put Eric Comrie on waivers, they didn't want to, right? Like that wasn't something like they knew. Well,
they didn't want to lose him.
Exactly. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
And so they knew there was a good chance that he was going to be claimed. And then Mackenzie Blackwood had the injury, right? And then so Eric Comrie was, you know, the second goalie to Scott Wedgwood there in New Jersey, right? So it's just, to me, like a good story that he's coming back. And make no mistake, like Eric Comrie is exactly the type of goaltender that you want behind Connor Hellebuck and Lauren Brossoit. And we obviously hope, you know, that Comrie is going to get to play some games either, you know, for the Jets, or there always is the chance that he plays for the Moose. Although I suspect that, you know, you don't want to go through that same situation where you have to expose him to waivers, right? So I think that, you know, this is just, and, you know, it goes back to what Dave said. He's been, you know, a longtime member of the Jets/Moose organization. You know, we were there in 2013 when he was drafted. You know, so for us personally, you know, we've developed a relationship with having Eric on the show a couple of times back when we were on TSN Radio 1290. So just a great story, you know, a great guy. And we wish him all the best for the rest of this year. And also just great that he's going to be out of quarantine.
Because that's gotta be
tough for
28 days in 34.
I couldn't believe that. Like, you know, at a certain point, you just want out. Like, you just want it to end.
Oh, I mean the mental impact on a professional athlete who's used to being so diligent and into such a routine. I mean, for schlubs like us, it's no big deal. We would just spend our time, you know, sleeping some more. But, you know, for a guy who, you know, needs to keep himself as fit as possible and yep. have that routine and make sure that he's performing at peak opportunity, it's a dramatic impact, and it's good to see that he's been able to sort of keep the good attitude and the right mindset throughout the course of the quarantine.
I thought you were going to give him some tips there, Drew. Like, you're in your room there. I know you've got the Peloton bike that we can't see right now.
Yeah,
but
right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you just look at me and you scream pinnacle of fitness. That's what it screams when you look at me.
Well, you are the best golfer out of the three of us. So
that's damning with faint praise, though. Let me tell you, Dave refuses to play more than nine holes.
Dave's a nine holer.
And I only play Kildonan Park.
And you only play Kildonan Park. Ezzy, you can't swing, because if you took a real swing, you would collapse to the ground with, you know, your back would be thrown out. So simply by default of being able to do a full swing, I am the best golfer of all of us.
Well, that's why I said to Eric that I play grandpa golf, right? Like, I don't hit it very far. I hit it about 200, you know, down the middle, but I'm pretty,
amazing.
You know, I don't usually spray it that much. But, you know, if I break 100, if I, you know, shoot a 98 or 99, I'm pretty happy.
I strongly encourage anybody in our audience to find an opportunity to golf with Ezzy, because, you know, Ezzy's, you know, big boy, you know, as they say in Yiddish.
But you won't have more fun.
You won't have more fun. As they say in Yiddish, Ezzy's zaftik, which means he's thick, I would say. And then you see him swing, and it's almost like it's occurring in slow motion. And it's, you're like, what is going on? Why is this guy swinging like that?
And also, you'll drink more beer than you've ever drank before if you play with me.
It's That's right. an incredible amount of beer. There's no question about that. Let's go back to what we were talking about before Eric joined us. And we're going to be joined in about 20 minutes by Mark Dumont. He covers the Montreal Canadiens. Talk about the Jets opponent tonight, the Habs. You know, going back to what I asked about Brandon Montour, I mean, again, the Jets need a depth right side defenseman. You know, this is a guy who's available, certainly not flashy. He's not going to cost a lot to acquire him. He's a guy who I think probably hasn't really met expectations. You know, when he was with Anaheim and they traded him because they had a glut of defensemen to Buffalo, Buffalo thought they were getting really sort of a top four guy, and it really hasn't materialized that way for Montour. Is this a guy that if you're Kevin Sheveldayoff, you're really, you know, doing your due diligence on acquiring him as much as almost any available right side defenseman right now?
Yeah, I think so. And you're right. I mean, on Buffalo, you look at the team and Rasmus Ristolainen, you guys know, has had just a horrible situation there with COVID. I know we're going to get into Buffalo a little bit later. Jack Eichel's out of the lineup. Linus Allmark is out of the lineup. So it's a really terrible situation there in Buffalo. So you're thinking to yourself, like, this is a great opportunity for Brandon Montour, right? Because as you mentioned, you know, they acquired him from Anaheim and they had high hopes for him, but you know, he hasn't played very well for them. So I think, you know, there's always the chance that Kevin Sheveldayoff looks at someone like him, but you know, going back to Tucker Poolman, and you know, there is a chance that he plays tonight versus Montreal. You guys know that
he is skating, just so you know, skating right now.
Right. Yeah, and you guys know
Jets practice just began. Yeah. Jets game day skate.
The only two, just to quickly interject, the only guys missing, according to Sarah Leske of TSN, are Nathan Beaulieu and Derek Forward.
There you go. And you know, the point I wanted to make, Dave, is, you know, you know, I've been watching Poolman since the days of UND, and I know, you know, we all are, you know, big fans of Poolman on this show. And I still think, you know, he can be part of that Jets top six. I really do. And the question that comes up is if you're going to acquire a player like Brandon Montour, and, you know, I don't have his, you know, advanced stats in front of me, Drew, you know, maybe one of us will pull those up, but
I have him there. He's less than 50% in terms of Corsi 4. So he's not a dominant possession player, but he's, you know, right around the 47-48% you know, mark at 5-on-5 in terms of possession. You know, again, this is a depth defenseman, a guy who...
and that's the point I was going to make, Drew, that, you know, I don't think that you're expecting, you know, Montour to be more than a third pairing defenseman, but the question then becomes, well, you know, where does that leave Tucker Poolman? Because obviously Dylan DeMello, you know, and Neil Pionk are your two best right defensemen, in my opinion. And I think you guys would probably agree with that. And we do expect, you know, at some point Dylan DeMello to play alongside Josh Morrissey on that top pair. And then why would you break up Forbort and Pionk? There's absolutely no reason. They've been fantastic together. So I guess my question would be, do you really need, like, is Brandon Montour going to make you that much better?
I'm not advocating necessarily for Montour to come into the Jets lineup. I'm advocating for him. I mean, when you lose one of your right side guys, like we saw, the Jets don't have a right shooting defenseman. Now they are fortunate in that, you know, Sammy Niku can play on his off wing and is comfortable playing on his off side. And he's done it before. And prefers it, to your point, Dave. Yes, exactly right. But, you know, if you... I mean, not that you're going to necessarily lose two defensemen on your right side, but it just adds a little bit more depth, because you know that the depth that you have in your at the Moose level is more on the left side than it is on your right side. So just add another guy. You're going to get another roster spot if, you know, everything goes according to plan, quote unquote plan, which I'm not what I'm assuming is the plan. It's not like they're telling me this is the plan, but Eric Comrie's going to go to your taxi squad. That means Anton Forsberg, who's been taking up a roster spot, that spot is going to be freed up. You can bring in eventually, if you bring in somebody, to you have that 23rd man roster spot that fills a hole potentially for your Jets team. And Montour just seems like a guy right now who's not going to cost you a lot. Now, there's a question and an argument. Do the Jets need to make a bigger splash on the right side of their defense? And I just don't see that happening, you know, given everything that's already happened this year, given that it'll be a 2-week quarantine. I don't see them, you know, spending a first round pick to acquire a right side defenseman right now.
Well, yeah, and I'll let Dave get in here. But, you know, again, I would answer your question with a question, which maybe makes me think that I could go into politics. But no, I'm joking. But I mean,
there's too many scandals in the background.
I was going to say, that'd be great, Ezzy. I wish you'd go into politics, because let me tell you, we would own you, baby.
Yeah, I would owe you guys a lot of favors, right? But no, but my question.
I'd be like, why is Main Street now turned to Manuke Street? No reason.
You know, the problem is that we've only spent the last 12 years documenting all of your mistakes live on air. Yes. Aside from that, though, there's no skeletons in your closet. Actually, they're not in your closet.
I was going to say, the one thing about Ezzy is, unlike most politicians, everything he's ever done is definitely out there for public consumption.
He's an open book. And I mean, I think I'll be your campaign manager. I'm more behind the scenes guy. Ezzy for mayor, who's on board for Ezzy for mayor right now, going forward. I see no reason why not. I mean, you know, the beard makes you sort of a unique personality, never mind your regular personality. Ezzy for mayor, let's start the campaign right now, this Saturday morning.
No, politics is not my thing, but you know, getting back to the defense there, I think it's unquestionable that, you know, when you look at who the next up defensemen are, when Tucker Poolman is healthy, it's Sammy Niku and Logan Stanley, right? And in no particular order. And, you know, so if you're going to bring in a right shot defenseman, I guess I would expect it to be closer to the trade deadline guys. Like that's kind of what I see happening. Like, I don't know if there's any urgency on Kevin Cheveldayoff's part if you only have one injured defenseman. And I do go back to, and I kind of feel like we've been talking about this for the last 3 weeks, right? But I do think you have to consider this. You've got Ville Heinola and Dylan Sandberg playing in the AHL, and you know that there's a good chance. I would lean towards Heinola more so than Sandberg, Dave, mm-hmm. but you know that there's a chance that Heinola could be called up really at any point, right? Because Heinola they haven't had a D prospect like this since Josh Morrissey, in my opinion, right? That you know that there's a good chance he could be called up during the season. So that's something I think you should factor in, Drew. And the reason is obviously he's a left shot defenseman. Mm-hmm. But what I mean is, I don't know if you don't want to crowd the D pool a little bit too much. You know what I mean? Like, I think that if you're going to bring in someone, it has to be for a reason. And that reason would obviously to give you more depth. So I guess, you know, I'm in favor of bringing in a right shot defenseman to make your depth better on that side. But I don't think it's going to be anybody that you're going to have to give up, you know, a roster player, or you're going to have to give up a prospect or anything like that. So if it's not Brandon Montour, it's going to be somebody like Brandon Montour, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's simply just a depth move. You're not suggesting that Tucker Poolman come out of the lineup, Ezzy, obviously. You're suggesting that if you need to. I mean, look, the reality is the Jets used Nelson Noje last year, right? I think it was against Pittsburgh. I mean, you've got situations that, again, the taxi squad is a buffer. So people have to realize, like, again, that's where you want those guys. You want, you know, if Logan Stanley's not in your lineup, then Logan Stanley should be with the Manitoba Moose. You know what I mean? Like, that's the idea with these guys. It's not a function of wasting their time on the taxi squad. So whereas a Montour, if he's on your taxi squad, it isn't the end of the world. Or he's on your roster and he's not playing, it's not the end of the world. And that's, I think, all you're suggesting. And I think that's the idea of depth isn't a bad thing to have from an organization perspective, because the Jets knew it better than anyone last year when they, like I said, they went to Nelson Noje, mm-hmm. who played his first game since, I think, what was it? He played that 10-game stretch with the Jets in his rookie season. So, yeah. I mean, again, necessity sometimes creates opportunity. And look, Logan Stanley, as I said, we talked about earlier, came in phenomenal shape and took advantage of the opportunity that was in front of him. And now people want Logan Stanley in the lineup. So you can create an opportunity for yourself. But I just think, like, to have depth to sit back on and know that, look, I mean, we know how heavy games are. We know, especially in the condensed schedule, you're going to have injuries. I mean, teams are having injuries all the time. And so it's not a bad thing to have, you know, a guy who can step in if you need him. And again, we have to factor in, if you have Heinola with the Moose and you want him to be a recall, well, you can't recall him from Montreal unless you're flying him private, right? I don't know exactly the rule, but the reality is, you know, if he's in Montreal, you're really not having access to him if you're in Winnipeg, or vice versa. You're in Toronto.
The Moose are on the road.
I'm saying when the teams are not in the same city, and it's possible, look, it's possible when they're on the road, they could be in the same city. It's possible when they're in Winnipeg, they could be in the same city. I haven't looked on the road, but the reality is, so you'll have access to these players. I just think, like, again, to have veteran depth guys, you know, like they did with Boteto. I mean, again, I'm not advocating for Boteto. I'm saying to have guys who can sit on your taxi squad and it doesn't hurt their development. And I know, like we talked about with Sean in that first hour, you have to weigh those things in, right? I mean, this is a year unlike any other. So players, look, junior players aren't even playing right now. So development this year is a luxury more than anything. If you can develop your players, that's going to be a huge benefit organizationally, I think. But is it not necessarily something that is absolutely going to happen across the board. And that's one thing we have to factor in, right? Like, and me as well, who says, oh, if you don't have Vesalainen or Gustafsson in your lineup, why not with the Moose? But, you know, again, like I said, there's that balancing act this year, unlike any other.
Absolutely right there, Dave Minuk. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live here on YouTube. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, smash that subscribe button, get alerted each and every time we go live here. Also, while you're at it, subscribe to our podcast. That way you won't miss an episode or a minute of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. All the information about subscribing to the podcast is available on our website, illegalcurve.com. Mark Dumont of the is a special contributor to the Montreal Canadiens. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes time, talk more about the Jets opponent, the rematch tonight between the Jets and the Habs. It's a 9 o'clock puck drop. Of course, game available on Sportsnet and on CBC. So you can tune in there. Also available, of course, on radio on CJOB.
This like segment, if you're a Habs fan. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Let me just do my rumors read, Ezzy, and then you can ask your question.
Terrible
this segment
timing.
Is brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Rumors is absolutely champing at the bit to reopen. They want to reopen so badly, but they're not going to do it until it's completely safe for you. It's coming soon. The end is in sight to all this. I know it's hard to believe, but I truly do believe the end is in sight to all of this. And when it is, we're always going to need to laugh. Rumors Comedy Club will be the place to do that. And in the meantime, they're doing Zoom comedy nights every Friday night. Festival quality lineups available. Tickets through the Rumors website. Check them out online. RumorsComedyClub.com. Mr. Ginsburg, you were saying.
Well, I was just going to say, we were complaining about the 9 o'clock start time tonight because we're old men, but what about the Habs fans in Montreal? That's a 10 o'clock start time. So it's a little bit of a unique situation, but obviously, you know, it's going to be a very fascinating game for a lot of reasons, guys. Like, this is a must win for the Montreal Canadiens. And it's, you know, pretty hard to say that at this point in the season, right? We're not even at the midway point of the season, but, you know, they need to stop the bleeding at this point. And we talked about it earlier, and we'll talk about it with Mark Dumont, but, you know, they're going to go with Jake Allen tonight. But, you know, this is a team that can't afford another loss. I mean, the Jets have started to separate themselves. The Oilers have started to separate themselves. I mean, luckily, you know, Vancouver and Calgary aren't exactly playing, you know, at the highest level right now, and they're not knocking on the door to pass the Habs. But, you know, this is going to be a very interesting game for a lot of reasons.
Well, let me ask you that question, Ezzy. You mentioned Vancouver and you mentioned Calgary. Both had awful weeks. The Vancouver Canucks 0-2-1 in their three games this week, scoring 6 goals, giving up 11. And then you look at the Calgary Flames. I mean, this team, that performance against the Ottawa Senators the other night was an absolute tire fire of a disaster. They're feeling good about themselves. They're coming off getting 3 points out of 4 against the Maple Leafs. Then they laid that egg against Ottawa. The Flames 1-2-1 this week, 6 goals, 4 in 4 games, and 15 goals against Montreal or Calgary and Vancouver. Which of the two teams is sort of in a worse spot right now, you know, given their circumstances?
Well, it's got to be Vancouver because of the games played, right? Like, they've played more, I think they've played more games than any other team in the league with 24 games, right? Like, if you think about that, that's absolutely crazy. Because I think the Devils are at what, 14 games?
Well, you almost have to put an asterisk next to all the American teams with the all Sabres the COVID issues.
I know the Sabres are at 14 or 15 games. So, I mean, you have some teams that have played 10 more games. So in a condensed schedule, that's pretty ridiculous. But I would say Vancouver, right? And it's not just the games played, but just having watched Vancouver recently against the Jets, like, just, it doesn't look like a confident team. You know, we were a little bit concerned. I've always been a big Braden Holtby guy, and I still think he's an NHL goaltender, but I definitely don't know if he is the right goaltender to turn this around. Like, you look at the St. Louis Blues guys a couple of years back and what happened with Jordan Binnington. Like, that happens so rarely where you have a young goaltender, you know, that comes up, you know, through the American Hockey League and is able to change that. Thatcher Demko obviously did it in the playoffs last year. And I think at some point you're probably going to have to, you know, hang your hopes on Thatcher Demko and then hope that, you know, Braden Holtby can come in every, you know, fourth or fifth game, Dave. But I look at Vancouver and Calgary, and both of these teams are flawed teams. I when you compare those two teams to the Jets and the Leafs, especially, maybe less so the Oilers, because the Oilers are unique in that they have, you know, two of the best players in the game in McDavid and Draisaitl, and you know, good supporting cast, but especially with the Leafs and the Jets that have really four good lines, you know, six really good defensemen, you know, excellent, you know, goaltending, and in my opinion, more so for the Jets maybe, but you know, I just think both the Flames and the Canucks are teams that I there's nothing that I've seen so far that would make me think that they're going to turn this around quickly. I'll say that much.
Dave, before you get in on this, just wanted an update from Winnipeg Jets game day skate, which most of the players who are in the lineup are now off the ice. It does not appear that there's going to be any lineup changes for the Jets. Connor Hellebuck, we know, is going to start in goal. Tucker Poolman staying on for extra work with the taxi squad. So Sammy Niku will get another game in the Jets lineup after his good performance on Thursday night, and very much a case for the Winnipeg Jets right now. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And with the back-to-back coming Monday, Tuesday, that might be a time where, as we spoke about in, I think, the first hour of the show, you might see an opportunity for a guy like Harkins or Vesalainen to get back in the lineup so as to not tax some of your veteran guys on your fourth line too heavily, Dave.
Well, and I think this makes a lot of sense. One, because you just won with that lineup, so, you know, it makes sense to roll it. And you played a pretty good game, so why not roll it out again? And two, you know, I think the idea of being cautious is especially, like I said, in a condensed schedule. Now, the Jets have the benefit of not having it as significantly condensed right now. You know, they've had some pretty big breaks in terms of, you know, when they come back from a road or whatnot. But I think to give Poolman that extra rest, if he's not certain, because you're going to need him, you're going to need to lean hard on him. And I think, you know, so it's a twofold advantage. Number one, you get the advantage of giving Sammy Niku, who is probably going to feel confident after that. You know, I mean, he hadn't played since January 19th. Came in, to Ezzie's point, he played a quiet, calm game. And I think for him, you say, okay, well, you know what? You're a guy who's had tremendous success. You were a horse in the American Hockey League. We're going to give you that opportunity here. Again, you're not going to be playing top pairing minutes, but we're going to give you another opportunity because you look good. And it gives an opportunity for Tucker Poolman to heal. So I think it makes a lot of sense. And again, like I said, from Sammy Niku's perspective, you can't put him on waivers. Because you're going to, like, you would likely lose them. I don't know. I don't know. No, to be honest with you, though, there's been a lot of guys who have gone on waivers that I anticipated being claimed, like Honka in Dallas. Like, there's guys who I've anticipated.
What about Paul Byron in Montreal?
That's what I mean. Like, there's guy. Like, I used to think early in the season, yes, I think that was more likely. I don't know how significant it is. But the truth is, you've got a player, you've got an asset. I think you need to get the benefit of having him play. Now look at that setup. Whoa.
That is a setup. Marc Dumont from the Montreal Canadiens special contributor is going to join us momentarily here, and he's got a better setup than we do. So we need to clearly step up our game in the coming weeks to match what Marc has. Let's keep talking, though, about the Jets and while we wait for Marc to connect in with us and to talk about the Jets opponent tonight.
How did Marc, how did he learn to make himself invisible? That's what I want to know.
He's got all the power. He's got a good backdrop and he can blend in perfectly to it. He's got all the talents in the world. I mean, it's going to be an interesting game. You play the same team twice. You know, the Habs, you know, you have to wonder, you know, and we'll ask Marc about this coming up momentarily here. Take your time, Marc, no rush. How that team is going to play differently with Jake Allen behind them. It just seems, you know, when you're skaters and you don't have any confidence in your goalie, or your goalie doesn't display any confidence and then lets in that bad goal, it just is so detrimental to your team going forward. And I think Marc is ready now, so we'll have Marc unmute himself. And you know, Marc, to that point, you know, this Habs team, you know, they're up 2-0 on Thursday night. They're up 3-1 on Thursday night. The Jets get a nice goal to make it 3-2, and then the 3-all goal is just not a good goal. The 4-3 goal is a worse goal. You know, how do the Habs skaters have much faith in Carey Price given his struggles as of late?
I think Carey Price, one of the benefits is he has that aura, regardless of how he plays. Now, I think there's a bit of a reckoning coming as well when it comes to Carey Price's overall results. Let's be completely honest here. They haven't been great. And the reason why I'm not too worried, Drew, and I understand Habs fans should get worried, the reason they went out and got Jake Allen was for this, you know, this is the exact situation. It's not just a rest thing. It's whether if Price falters, and we're seeing he is faltering. So absolutely, confidence is part of it. It's much more difficult to play. I ask defensemen all the time, is it difficult to play in front of a goalie you don't trust? They say, no. guys, come on. That's not true. We see it. And I know too, especially when I was playing as a goalie, I know the guys would stress out in front of me because they knew I was bad. So no, that's a factor. But what we're seeing now is the Jake Allen aspect of it all, is that they're going to put some faith into him. And I think that's key for Price. For the first time in his life, he's allowed to falter and not have all the pressure on him. So thus the Jake Allen signing will hopefully provide some reprieve for Carey Price.
Mark, right before we had you on, you know, I said that this was a must win, and I realized that, you know, a lot of people probably hate hearing that because it's one of those hockey cliches, like, you know, getting pucks deep and 200 foot game, right? But when you look at where the Habs are, and you know, granted, they're only 3 points behind the Jets and they've played the same amount of games, but you know, they had you know, created that cushion with that great start. So how desperate do the Habs have to be, considering that, you know, they were up 2-0 on the Jets and it looked like, you know, they were in control of that game and they were going to get the victory?
Yeah, and they didn't get that fun coaching change boost, which a lot of teams kind of count on. It is like there's so much time, is he, right now? That's the issue, but there's not, right? Like we're approaching almost the halfway point to the season. So I think one of the reasons you saw that coaching change is because there's pressure in the organization to make this happen because of all the acquisitions. So yeah, it's not a must win, but it's a must gain momentum. I think what we saw against Winnipeg was, first of all, we got to give credit to the Jets. They did a good job shutting down the neutral zone, but the Habs had almost no speed through the neutral zone, and they live and die off the rush. So they have to get back to that style of play, and that style of play will create some momentum. And then we won't be talking about must wins, but no, you're absolutely right. Something needs to happen in a hurry. Because as we all know, we were saying it's a little too early to declare them very good. Well, now it's starting to be a bit too late to declare them very good. So no, it has to get going, and it's all about speed through the neutral zone. And as we saw, speed through the neutral zone means you provide puck support for your defenseman. That's the thing. Habs forwards are cheating. They're not giving them outlet options. So when that F1, F2 comes down, the defenseman is panicking because he knows either I rim it out and it's the faceoff is coming back, or I lose the puck. So it's a full team effort that's necessary here to create that momentum. But like I'm very close to saying must win tonight against the Jets. Then again, I have a feeling the Habs aren't the only Canadian team that's going to go through this. They're not even the only one that went through this year. So it'll be fun to see how the whole division shakes out by the end of the year.
And so Mark, what kind of coach are they getting in Dominique Ducharme?
Yeah, that's a good question, because for the first time in a long time, the Habs have essentially a guy with no pro head coaching experience here. Now, Sham is the polar opposite of let's say a Brian Killery, or maybe you guys don't know Brian Killery that much in Winnipeg, but
Ottawa 67s, we know him.
Right, Killer, right? Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. Because I'm from Ottawa, so I always reference the Killer. But yeah, so apparently everyone else knows about Killer K, but he's the opposite of a Pat Burns. Let's put it that way. Whereas Pat Burns, you know, that whole cop persona, that was real. Like yeah. I was just speaking to some players and they said like they came to blows, Shane Corson and Pat Burns, literally like they lined up Irish style and they started punching each other in the face. You're never going to get that with Dumb Sham. He's a communicator. He's the kind of guy that doesn't get upset when his players push back a little bit. Because I think, Dave, what we're seeing now with the younger guys, it's not that they're not willing to do something, but they want to know why, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's no longer, okay, I'm just going to run through this wall. It's tell me why I'm running through this wall. Mm-hmm. So Sham is the communicator there. He has worked with, he had one of the best junior teams of all time when Halifax was there. Martin Frick, Nathan MacKinnon, and Jonathan Drouin on the same line. And he kind of managed that, which was pretty interesting because Drouin, I remember him yelling at Sham because Sham took him off after 2 minutes on a penalty kill. Like he played the full penalty kill, but Drouin wanted to keep going and he just laid into him. And I remember Sham didn't say a word after the game. You saw everyone went to get off the bench and he grabbed Jonathan Drouin and sat him back down, you know, and it was like, hey, we're going to talk calmly. We're going to talk smoothly, but you're going to work for me. So we're going to work together, but I get the deciding vote here. So I think he's got that calm presence, but that you can gravitate towards as a younger player. The key right now, guys, if we're being honest, it's not the 5-on-5 play, it's special teams. And that's not necessarily up to the Sham. So the Habs have to figure out the special teams in a hurry. it will come down to Cham, but there's a reason why Kirk Muller was part of that Claude Julien firing.
Mark Dumont is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Mark covers the Montreal Canadiens. We're talking about the Habs ahead of the rematch later tonight. A late night game there for you, Mark. Hope you got the coffee going on.
What's that all about? Is this how everyone else feels when Toronto goes out west? Is this what happens? Like,
no, when Toronto goes out west, you know that they rearrange the broadcast time. That game starts at 4 o'clock local time, right? In Vancouver to account for Toronto.
Okay, but isn't there a Western game that's starting before this one? Tonight?
Well,
yeah, I believe so.
Is Toronto in Edmonton tonight?
I believe Toronto is going before Montreal, Winnipeg, which makes absolutely no sense to me. But hey, I won't say that the East is getting a too hard of a shake here when it comes to the schedule. I won't complain too much.
Fair enough.
Toronto Edmonton does start at 6 o'clock Central. Yeah, 7 o'clock Eastern.
You know what, though, if I'm being perfectly honest, I'd probably put Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews on my top billing right now, if I'm being perfectly exactly, honest. Yeah. But
Matthews and McDavid might win a little bit more than Shifley against,
Philip Dano, you know, like, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Will he get his first goal this year? Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, that's sort of, you know, I was watching the broadcast on Thursday, and Dennis Bayak, who does our games here locally, said that, you know, Philip Dano was, you know, still looking for his first goal of the season. And, you know, I definitely did a double take, you know, the cartoon style. Whoa, 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 what? And, you know, to know a guy who was so key for the Habs last season, you know, really struggling to start this year. And I mean, he's getting some assists, but, you know, is that sort of one of the keys to getting the Habs back on track, is getting Deneau to find the back of the net?
One of the main reasons, Drew, that it was working so well at the beginning of the season, it wasn't just like Deneau was actually playing well, but you had Jesperi Kotkaniemi that was providing offense. You had Nick Suzuki that was providing offense. You had Jake Evans that was scoring shorthanded goals. So you had every line was providing, and the Canadians for the past how many years have counted on Gallagher, Tatar, Dano. The unfortunate part here is that they are actually producing decent numbers, and the nerd in me was saying, like, they're going to score more, but the Habs just simply didn't have that time right now. Like, if we're playing if it was based on merit, Philip Dano would have sat some games, not Thomas Tatar, but the Habs just don't have another center. So it's not that he's not working hard. I checked in with my nerd buddies and they were telling me, like, he's probably the player in the NHL that has the highest expected goals without scoring right now. Like, he's top three or four. Mm-hmm. So it's coming, but keep in mind, this is a guy that just rejected a fairly big contract offer last season because he was building upon it. So there's that pressure as well. This is a guy that whose offense has been, if we're being perfectly honest, not inflated, but helped along by playing with a certain Brendan Gallagher. Brendan Gallagher is like a cheat code for any coach. You put him on a line, he's going to score. Thomas Tatar is really good in neutral zone. Like, Dano was good and all that. He built the chemistry, but we're starting to see if we pull him away from that line, we're not seeing as much chemistry. So, yeah, it's key for him to get going, but it's key for that entire line. The Tatar, Dano, Gallagher have to get back to scoring. At the beginning of the year, we're saying it's great. There's other lines scoring, but then you needed that offense from that. It's their number one line, you know? So Cham brought them back together. And hopefully we're going to see a little more. It's not just goals from Dano. I want to see, creativity. He almost seems a little defeated, but hey guys, you know how it is. After a while you start to get, you know, it's the old, you grip the stick a little too hard, and that's really what's happening. So hopefully a garbage goal, a Dino Cicerelli goal would do Philip Dano a lot of good.
And you know, Mark, you make a really good point, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, before the season started, you know, I know that Drew and I actually picked the Montreal Canadiens to go to the Stanley Cup final, so maybe I jinxed them, but no, I mean, Drew and I, you know, and Dave, I know Dave picked the Canadiens to make the playoffs, I believe, but Drew and I picked them to finish second in the division, and a lot of that had to do with the depth, right? Bringing in Tyler Toffoli, trading Max Domi for Josh Anderson, even bringing a guy like Corey Perry in, even, you know, if he's not playing every game, you know, it can't hurt to have a guy even like
that. Frolik hasn't played yet. He's their 14th forward.
Absolutely. You know, Joel Armia picked up a couple goals. And one of the guys I wanted to ask you about was somebody who you just mentioned, Jonathan Drouin, you know, played in Halifax for Dominique Ducharme. And, you know, a guy that, you know, he had an assist on one of Joel Armia's goals. But, you know, when you talk about that forward depth and how they need more offensive output out of Philip Deneau, is Jonathan Drouin maybe one of those keys that people, you know, don't talk about enough? Because we know his offensive ability. Like, this guy was a high draft pick, was an unbelievable player in the queue. Is this a guy that you're looking toward to be kind of one of those leaders offensively on that second line?
Yes, but I'd actually say that he's done that. Like, if you go, you look at his numbers, they're not amazing. I think he's got like 10 points in 17 games or so. And he just got his second goal. That was his second goal against Winnipeg. I would actually say Jonathan Drouin is suffering from an old reputation. If you're seeing him, like, he's really, really working hard right now. He's actually been one of the Canadiens' best players. And if I can nerd it up for a moment again, in past years, one of the issues with Drouin is, you know, when people said he's bad defensively, like, the numbers agreed. He wasn't just bad defensively. He was like, he couldn't pick his goalie out of a police lineup, you know, that, like, he just really wasn't good. And he just, the effort wasn't there. It's been there. His numbers are fantastic. I'd say Jonathan Drouin is the least of their worries. Now, the big issue with Drouin was expectations. When he came over, they kind of sold him as a French Canadian savior and as a center. So you wanted to kill, you know, two birds with one French Canadian stone. And that was just putting too much on him. I never thought Jonathan Drouin was an 80 point guy. If I'm being perfectly honest, like, I see him as a 60 point guy that, as long as he puts a bit of effort in his own zone, that's what you get for 5 million nowadays. Right. Again, the issue was that he was their highest paid forward for about 3 years. No other team's highest paid forward was only 5 million, but that was the case with Montreal. So now that he's more in a supporting role, I think he's very important and he's doing his job exactly as you wanted. I think he's one of just those fantastic supporting elements. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, count on him as your primary source of offense. But honestly, so far, so good for Jonathan Drouin. And it's, Habs fans and analysts are having a really hard time giving him credit. But I mean, the guy, if everyone was playing like Drouin right now, the Habs probably wouldn't have fired their coach.
Saturday morning, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on our YouTube channel, Illegal Curve Radio. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, smash that subscribe button, join us each and every time we go live. And of course, remember the podcast, subscribe to that as well. In case you miss any of the program, in case you miss any of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, hit the subscribe button on the podcast, get that sent to your device automatically each and every week.
Mark, I had to bring my mom out of retirement because she's a retired French teacher, but there's so many games between the Jets and the Habs. And of course, the Moose are in Montreal right now to play Laval.
Yeah.
Previously, if you wanted to see the Laval Rocket play hockey, you had to drive 45 minutes from Montreal. Now you have them in the home building. Obviously, with the tax squad, it's a little different, but what benefits are you seeing having that team in Montreal? And what players are you seeing emerge? They obviously picked up a win last night over the Moose after dropping the first two of this series. They play again this afternoon. What benefit, what players are you kind of seeing emerge from that Laval team?
It's clear, Dave, that you know a little bit of the Montreal geography because it's technically a 10-minute drive, but Montreal, it's a 45-minute drive. So that's very accurate. Or a $3 ride on the Metro. But what's exciting right now for Laval, obviously, you're dangling that carrot, right? It's like, hey, guys, you know, you if you get on the subway right now, you could be at the Bell Center in 10 minutes playing hockey where, you know, where you see Jean Béliveau and Guy Lafleur and Ken Dryden. So there's that aspect of it, the carrot dangling. Now, double-edged sword, right? Because a lot of guys can start to lose focus. We saw last year with Ryan Poehling, he really lost a little bit of focus there in terms of he needed to establish himself in the AHL before making the NHL, and he wanted to kind of skip that phase. So you have to manage the expectations there. And also, disadvantage is when they send someone down, I mean, not anymore, because I mean, I work for them now, but it used to be, I'd be there right in his face the next morning. Like, you know, guys hated it. It was this Pavlovian response that every time they saw my face, they knew something bad had happened. Like, oh God, I got sent to the minors. So this Irish guy with the big heads in my face with his coffee breath, you know, asking me what I can do better. But they have rebuilt significantly at the AHL level. I think Joël Bouchard has been just such a breath of fresh air. The Habs really had a stale development program, for being perfectly honest. Guys, they for over 10 years, the only guy they produced was Gallagher, and he spent half a season there during lockout. Mm-hmm. So like 10 years not producing a single player in the AHL. That sent them back. That set them back 15 years, right? So now you have 10 players under the age of 21 on the roster. Really strong, good veterans. You want guys like Caden Primo. He's the heir apparent to Carey Price. He's getting all the starts. Keep in mind here, like, they're going to have to replace Price at one point. So Primo is in that perfect situation. Ryan Poehling has focused up. He's playing a lot of minutes, and that's super key. They also brought in Caden Gooley was there. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he just went back to Prince Albert, but they got to watch their first round pick play in Montreal. And the coaches were just blown away. Like, this guy is such a, I mean, he's a beast. He's just gigantic for his age, but he's just so smart. Like, I don't want to say Shea Weber because that's so unfair to compare him to, but guess what his coaches say? They say that name, right? So, but except for he can skate. He, like, the big man can fly, right? So there's a lot of exciting things happen there. I'd say, Dave, the biggest issue is there's not necessarily a game breaker mm-hmm. at the HL level. But that's because Kotkaniemi is in the NHL and Suzuki's in the NHL. Romanov's in the NHL. So they've rebuilt on the fly. It's been a lot healthier for the Canadians. But now you need results. Like, they need to win and they need to produce players. Slowly yet surely, Jake Evans is the first kind of taste we have of that. But before we declare victory, they have to produce a lot more players. And they've had 45 picks in the last 3 years. So now is the time to really get it going.
Unless I've missed anything, Mark, Josh Anderson probably will not be in the Habs lineup tonight. Injured in that when he got tangled up with Dylan DeMello. I'm pretty sure I saw Habs social media calling it a slew foot.
And I called it a slew foot. Yeah,
there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah,
you were there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
But, you know, I like to, I don't think it was on purpose whatsoever. Like, what, like an actual slew foot, you literally have to, you know,
yeah.
foot in. Mm-hmm. That was, it looked like, but no, he didn't, like, and Anderson was leaning forward too. But don't forget who signs my paycheck, right?
At least you know that. So, you know, if you embrace that, that's good. You know, yes. How big of a loss, obviously, we know he'd come over from Columbus in the offseason. It seemed like he had fit very well with the Habs so far. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how are the Habs going to try and replicate to some extent what he brings to the lineup? It's not coincidental, I think, that they were up 2-0 when he was in the lineup on Thursday night, and then after that he obviously outscored 6-1 without him in the lineup.
He is quickly becoming one of the most, if not the most important players, because if you watch the Canadiens at the beginning of the year, like, Winnipeg didn't really get to see them much, but when they were dominating, they were scoring off the rush. Like, their speed through the neutral zone was just fantastic. And Josh Anderson, I mean, I watch him go and I'm like, geez, how does this guy, first of all, he blows my mind. I know he's fast, but just that size shouldn't move that fast. And the fact that he creates high danger chances off the rush is something the Habs need to get back into the habit of creating all the time. He's one of the few guys that can do it efficiently in almost every single shift. So, huge loss, Drew. He's fit in seamlessly because, yeah, the Habs want to add size, but they want to add speed as well. And he's one of, you know, he's really one of those rare combinations of the two. And he creates off the rush. When he was creating off the rush, Kotkaniemi was creating off the rush. We saw other lines, like with Tyler Toffoli creating off the rush, just because, again, monkey see, monkey do. But unfortunately, he's lost now. And the health aspect is something I know Habs fans are very nervous about. So hopefully this isn't long-term. But no, crucial to the Canadiens. They needed kind of that game-breaking presence. Anderson isn't elite, in my opinion, because there's only five guys I consider elite in every position, but he does have the ability to break games wide open. And without him, it'll be much, much more difficult to score off the rush.
Mark, just wanted to go back to the coaching change that happened earlier this week, right? And, yeah. You know, Kirk Muller, I think, you know, I think is a very popular person in Montreal for obvious reasons, going back to the 93 Cup win. But I think some people were surprised that he was included with Claude Julien. And then obviously, you know, nobody wants, you know, wanted Claude Julien to be fired either. We should mention that. But
no.
You know, is bringing in a guy like Alex Burrows, speaking of, you know, players developing through the AHL with the Manitoba Moose, like, is that just about bringing in a different voice into that coaching staff?
Well, first of all, Claude Julien was one of the nicest, you know, we hear this a lot, but you'll never hear a bad story about Claude Julien, like, not even from his players. Like, this is genuinely one of those good guys. Kirk Muller, if we're being perfectly honest, his tenure in charge of special teams was questionable at best. Statistically speaking, the Canadians have had some of the worst special teams in the NHL for several years, and they missed the playoffs several times just because of that. When you have such a good, strong 5-on-5 team, and you have weak special teams, to me, that speaks to strategy, right, guys? Because, I mean, if you can enter the zone at 5-on-5 and you struggle in the power play, what's going on here? Obviously, you've changed up your system. You're not using your speed as much. So I do believe it was time for him to go. Now, Burrows, what I love about him in Laval is that so many guys would just go up to, like, let's keep in mind, never drafted. He spent 250 games in the ECHL and AHL before even stepping ice on an NHL rink there, you know? So he's the perfect embodiment of hard work. Again, he's a player's coach, though. Like, that's what he's really brought in to be the communicator. He's kind of like the Gerard Gallant of the Habs now. But I do believe, and this is something he's spoken to me before, he wants to improve on his strategy aspect. So he's still learning on the fly. Let's keep in mind, he only had 2 years in Laval. But he will, like, the pressure is going to be on him immediately to make that power play work. And, You know, we won't have a 6-year grace period. So I'm not surprised Muller is gone. I'm excited to see what Burrows can do. It's going to be a challenge for him, though. Like, he's you know, again, really smart player, but the Habs have a crutch that's called Shea Weber. It's not his fault, but they overuse him, right? Like, they don't use him as a decoy. Or, you know, like, for example, at one point I was watching when Patrick Laine was playing in Winnipeg, they would use him once in a while as a decoy. Like, hey, you know, you got to keep that shot lane blocked so it opens up for other players. The Habs really struggle at that. It's all about feeding Weber. So I think Burrows is going to have to figure out a way to basically take away the Weber addiction of it all. Because once you do that, once you open up the other options, then Weber becomes a threat again. Right now, not much of a threat, unfortunately, on the power play.
Mark, when Ben Chiarot left Winnipeg and signed with Montreal, he had a big 9-goal, 12 assist season, you know, in 69 games for the Habs. He's had a little bit of a fall off, you know, from a production standpoint, but how have things gone for the former Jets defenseman?
I mean, I like to joke and call him a sniper because he, like, last year was he doing that in Winnipeg, just scoring these gorgeous, like, top corner goals? Was that a thing or?
No, not really.
No, that was okay. An anomaly.
Right. Okay. Cause he was really the defenseman. I think right now, in my honest opinion, I would break up the Weber Chiarot pairing. And I don't think it's necessarily on either or. I think that they both have some issues that the other defenseman, that the partner doesn't necessarily compliment. But so far, Chiarot has fit in a lot better than I anticipated. I essentially said when he came over, I'm like, it's an expensive Jordy Ben. You know, and I was wrong, guys. Like, I was so wrong about that. He's a lot more mobile than I thought. The decision making. Oh, is my internet working? Can you guys see me?
You're still there.
Okay, good. My Zoom is telling me my connection is unstable. Well, one of the issues is that sometimes.
No, we're the unstable ones, Mark.
Fair enough. Well, yeah. Well, Chiarot and Weber's connection is unstable at times too, because again, the speed's not there, guys. Like, the speed is not there. So I think Chiarot right now is getting the short end of the stick because a lot of people are blaming him for the woes on that top pairing. I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think you can point to anything in Chiarot's numbers and say he's a reason Weber is, you know, kind of underplaying right now or struggling to a certain extent. But no, he's been really good, Dave. He's been better than I expected, but he is on a slight dip down right now. And you're going to want to expect just a little more in terms of smart play from him. We saw him lose his temper a few times. Obviously, Tkachuk will make you lose your mind. That's just, you know, fair enough. But it was after that, he was going out of his way to try to hit him, and he was pulling himself out of position, and that's something you just can't do anymore. You know, he's not Shea Weber. He won't get away with 4 free cross checks before the 5th one's penalized, you know? So if he goes out and he takes that dirty hit, he's going to get called, and he'll be pulled out of position. And I think that's right now, it's not just a Ben Chiarot issue. The whole team's playing with a bit too much emotion, you know? The Habs kind of try to change their mentality. They're like, yeah, we're fast, but we're big now, too. It's not working out all that well. I'd rather see them go back to the fast team that can also hit. And that's what Ben Chiarot fits in perfectly with that that whole system.
Mark, well, last question for you. I mean, we know Mark Bergevin, you know, used one of the quivers in his arrow in dismissing Claude Julien and hiring Dominique Ducharme. Is that the final quiver he's got? If, you know, this doesn't turn around, is Mark Bergevin the next guy right in the crosshairs? Or is he sort of still immune to the slings and arrows, I guess, of Habs Nation?
You're trying to get me in trouble here, right?
Sorry. You don't have to answer.
Drew, don't you remember when Mark said who signed his paycheck?
Yeah. I was like, see the mic
punt on it.
I'll say this is that most GMs will get 2 to 3 coaches, right? Like statistically speaking.
Yep.
And this will essentially be his third. But at the same time, when you look at it, like up until a week ago, people were saying Bergevin was going to win GM of the year, like slam dunk, right? So things can change very quickly. I think Jeff Molson's a very pragmatic man in his approach to this. He knows that ripping it apart for the sake of ripping it apart doesn't make much sense. He needs to find a good candidate. Don't forget, he's got to be a Francophone, that candidate. So, you know, that withers down the overall pool. Nothing will be done just for the sake of doing it. But I do know Jeff Molson's very hungry for success. Like a lot of fans, one of the things that hurts them the most is fans will go on Twitter and say, like, you don't care. I don't think there's a bigger fan of a team than Jeff Molson amongst all the owners. Like, he loves the Habs. Like, he's a big Habs fan. That's all he does, just cheers for them. So I know he wants success, but I also know he's seeing slowly, sure, the tower is finally being built. And you have that risk. I always go back to, for example, Washington. Now they have Ovechkin, but they could have torn that down so many times, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how many times did they just get a frustrating bounce by the Penguins over and over? And it takes so long to build a winner in hockey. I don't know if Bergevin has that talent to build the winner yet, but I think that Molson will give him at the very least until the end of the year and possibly even beyond. I don't think he's in a rush to change anything up top.
Mark Dumont covers the Montreal Canadiens as a special contributor to the Habs website. You can read all of his great work. Be sure to follow Mark on Twitter as well. Mark, we'll let you get in a pregame nap. It's going to be a late night in La Belle Provence. So we look forward to that. And we thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks a lot, guys. I have a poutine on the way, so I will need a afternoon nap. Yeah, absolutely. As you can tell, I've had my fair share of poutines. Yeah,
that's right. Take care, Mark. Thanks so much for joining us this
Thanks,
morning.
Mark.
Thanks a lot, guys.
There he goes. Mark Dumont covers the Montreal Canadiens. He joins us from Montreal.
What a setup.
I miss Montreal.
Let's talk about that setup. We were all chest out. People are talking in the comments about how our mics sound good. We sound crispier. And then Mark comes with that big old setup. And now I'm like, we don't have icy mic flashes.
I think he's got a bit of a bigger budget than we might.
I was thinking Ezzy could get the old IC banner and have the IC banner behind him. That might be a good backsplash for Ezzy.
Yeah, I'll have to dig that one up, Dave. But by the way, thanks for picking up this mic at Staples. It's great.
Yep.
Well, we're slowly but surely building to something here, guys.
Well, hey, it's a new world for us, right? Like, we were used to our pampered lifestyle with TSN 1290. So now we're officially independent, right? So we got to pick up our own mics. We got to, dust off the old stereo headphones. Like, this is a different type of situation here, boys.
If those walls could talk, I mean, well, I guess there's nobody's going to get mad at us now. We can talk about the peeling paint and the fact that I think on more than one occasion we would have been live on air and the chair we were sitting on literally would just break underneath us.
Well, that was Ezzy. I would say that was almost always Ezzy's chair.
Yeah, there's no question it was almost always Ezzy's chair. So, I don't think that they're going to get too mad at us if we talk about how big of a... The word dump would come to mind when you describe the quality of the station.
Have you guys returned your charge cards yet, or have you returned those? Or
the what? Returned what?
The charge cards.
Yeah,
your corporate credit cards.
Corporate credit card. Yeah, I'm not sure that that's got much of life left in it.
Does anybody call them that anymore? Is charge card is that an old timey type of reference?
Yeah, I think my grandparents, and they've been deceased for a number of years now.
Like
maybe
Discover,
you used to call them
Discover card. You used to have a Discover card.
Discover card is a different thing. I mean,
Discover card like is a credit card. It's not very prominent.
But calling it a charge card is old school.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And you're a new school guy. Drew's the guy who's from 1929.
Well, I remember when I first started delivering pizza, you'd still have that old plastic thing, and you'd have to run the credit card on those.
Yeah, but then what would you do when the customer said, "Sir, where's our pizza?" And you'd be like, "Oh, sorry, I just ate it."
Yeah,
no, I didn't eat the whole thing; just a couple pieces.
That's he said no tip necessary. Just I took a couple pieces instead. I'm sure they were very accommodating and reasonable when you used to Ezzy's delivery days.
So it looks like Paul Maurice is speaking right now, but it looks like the Jets are going to go with the same lineup. So not a terrible surprise there.
No surprise, right? Yeah. Like, we thought maybe Tucker Pullman goes in, Sammy Niku comes out, and then maybe there was one change on the fourth line, but
no.
I don't think any of us are surprised with that.
No, I mean, and again, they played well. And so, particularly, what kind of message would you be sending to both Niku and to, say, Nate Thompson? Because those are the two most likely candidates to come out of the lineup. Both of them, Niku was heavily involved in the Jets' second goal and played well in other circumstances in that game on Thursday night. And Nate Thompson gets his first goal of the season, and it's the game-winning goal. I'm not sure, you wouldn't be sending the right message at that point in time. And, that's not to say that Monday or Tuesday you won't see different lineups. In fact, I would expect that you're going to see some lineup changes, particularly on Tuesday night, the second half of the back-to-back. How do the Jets need to approach Jake Allen tonight compared to Carey Price? I mean, Carey Price obviously was fragile on Thursday night. Jake Allen has been playing at such a high level that I think it's going to be a different Montreal Canadiens team tonight.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that you change your approach at all, Drew, depending on, which goalie's in net, right? Because, both goalies are good goalies. Like, I realize the numbers say otherwise, but I think we all expect those numbers to be better, as the season progresses for Carey Price. And Jake Allen's numbers have been fantastic. I wanted to get something in, though, about, the schedule coming up. We talked about the back-to-back games, but if you guys have looked at the entire month of March, we know that there's a lot of road games, right? 12 of 16 on the road. Mm-hmm. There's only one portion of the schedule, I believe it's March 7th and March 8th, where the Jets have 2 days off. So the entire month, not only do you have 16 games, you have three back-to-backs, and you only have one stretch where there's two games. So it's going to be basically, not basically, it's going to be a game every other night. And that's why you will see a lot of movement, both on forward and on defense. You're going to see Lauren Brossoit. If I had to guess, I'd probably say, you know, to get three games or four games in the month of March. But you're going to see Jansen Harkins back in the lineup. I would expect, Dave, that you're going to probably see Christian Vesalainen back in the lineup. Tucker Pullman will certainly be back in the lineup, even a guy like Logan Stanley. So just wanted to get that in there, that just because the Jets lineup tonight is going to be the same, there's going to be a lot of movement, because that month of March, we're going to go back and look at that month, you know, when the season is over and the playoffs are over. And, you know, that's going to determine, you know, how the Jets do this year with all of those. You've basically got a third of the season in 1 month. It's incredible.
To your point there, Ezzy, I would expect you're going to see Lauren Brossoit. I would assume you're going to see him on Monday, you know, in the back-to-back against the Canucks. You have the Canucks, obviously, Monday and Tuesday. We know Brossoit is going to get one of those games. I would expect that it would be Monday, and then maybe, you know, then, you know, Hellebuck will be back into his sort of every second day routine for the rest of the week, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday against the Canucks, and then Thursday and Saturday against the Habs. Definitely one of the next two games for Lauren Brossoit with the back-to-back against Vancouver there, Dave.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And Lauren Brossoit has been playing very good, and the team obviously feels comfortable playing in front of him. So to me, you're not going to go wrong with either one of these goaltenders for the Jets. And I think, you know, that's one thing that Paul Maurice has acknowledged, and is that you're going to have to lean on him. You can't have, to Ezzy's point, Connor Hellebuyck can't play 16 games in 30 days or something like that. So you're going to have a goaltender come in who can handle the workload. And I think Lauren Brossoit to this season has shown what we saw from him 2 years ago, which is that he's a more than capable backup. And that, look, I think the Jets had the only, I think, I don't quote me on this, but I think the Jets were the only team to have two tenders in the top 10 of goals saved above expectation, right? So I think, I mean, it's a good sign, right? You've got Connor Hellebuyck. People have maligned him a little bit, saying that he hasn't been playing to his level, but his numbers are still pretty good. Mm-hmm. And Lauren Brossoit, to that point, his numbers have also been very good. So I think you've got two capable goaltenders in net for the Winnipeg Jets.
Certainly the Jets are the problems the Jets have had so far this year, or that they're having as of late, are small potatoes compared to a lot of the other teams in the North Division. And that accounts for the Jets being, you know, in technically third place, but second in terms of points percentage at this point of the season. And the month of March, we know, is going to be an absolute key one. One more game in the month of February that goes tonight, 9:00 against the Montreal Canadiens, a game you can watch on CBC and Sportsnet and listen to it on radio on CJOB. All the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio, including from the pregame availabilities, that's going to be available at illegalcurve.com. We're going to let Dave Minuk and get started on doing his website work. Want to thank everybody who joined in on the chat today and listened to us live on YouTube. Always appreciate your support. Great conversation. A great community of Jets fans know that Saturday morning is the time to gather on our YouTube channel, and we appreciate all the comments throughout the course of the last 2.5+ hours. Want to make mention of our sponsors, give them a shout out one last time: Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, and Zappia Group Realty. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks so much for joining us. This has been the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live on YouTube.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.